The current drought has incentivized organic growers of California to switch to subsurface drip irrigation system to improve water use efficiency. However, uncertainty remains as to the long-term impact on system sustainability and how to best manage organic sources of nitrogen in these systems. So we're asking three fundamental questions. The first one is, how does drip irrigation impact soil ecosystem function and services? What are the implications for integrated fertility management and resource use efficiency? And how does irrigation strategy affect root distribution and nitrogen mineralization in the rhizosphere? And eventually what we're interested in is really getting at, can we maintain and build up soil natural capital in those subsurface drip irrigated systems?
One, two, three.
Now in its 23rd year, the Century Experiment at Russell Ranch Sustainable Agricultural Facility is a unique long-term study analyzing the effects of commercial-scale agriculture on the environment. In this research, subsurface single-drip, subsurface double-drip, and furrow irrigation methods were compared in organic canning tomato plots, where the nitrogen sources utilized at Russell Ranch were derived from the mineralization of fall cover crop residues and composted chicken manure prior to planting. Yields were lower in both drip irrigated systems, limiting gains to water use efficiency common in conventional systems, as well as offsetting the other potential benefits of drip irrigation for water savings and drought adaptation. Acquisition and utilization of organic nitrogen can account for yield lags in organically managed systems like this one, highlighting the importance of knowing how nitrogen is distributed under different irrigation systems. Wetting patterns differed between single subsurface drip, double subsurface drip, and furrow rows. Furrow irrigated rows had higher water content near the shoulder of the bed, reflecting more wetting in shallow surface soils. These differences in water distribution affect other soil properties as well, such as nitrogen, microbial activity, salinity, and weed pressure. Furrow irrigated rows had lower nitrate content at the shoulder, indicating that mobile forms of nitrogen were leached away with increased surface wetting. Ammonium concentrations did not differ between treatments. Increased surface wetting can have benefits, however, such as preventing salt accumulation in shallow soils. Drip irrigated rows had higher salinity at the shoulder, and double drip did not decrease salt accumulation compared to single drip. Total microbial activity and activity of the carbon cycling enzyme beta-glucosidase decreased with depth in all irrigation treatments. However, beta-glucosidase activity was concentrated at the center of the furrow irrigated rows and more evenly distributed in drip irrigated rows. Weeds are a major concern for organic growers. One advantage of drip irrigation is reduced weed pressure since subsurface water delivery prevents weed seeds from germinating. This NDVI image from mid-August shows lower weed pressure in drip irrigated rows at the left of the plot and more weeds in furrow irrigated rows on the right. Darker colors indicate higher weed growth. Although resource distribution varied between the irrigation treatments, roots did not appear to respond to these differences. Total root length and root length density were not affected by irrigation treatment. This lack of plasticity could limit crop productivity if roots were not able to respond to heterogeneous water and nutrient distribution. Results from last fall showed that drip irrigation reduced soil aggregation and mean aggregate size. This could increase the amount of unprotected and vulnerable carbon, potentially decreasing carbon sequestration over time. Infiltration and conservation of winter rainfall could also be adversely affected by changes in soil aggregation, and could ultimately have a significant impact on the overall water use efficiency and sustainability of organic tomato production systems in California.
So we observed few negative trade-offs for drip irrigation, but there are a number of questions that remain to be answered. First, how do nutrient mineralization dynamics differ under different irrigation systems, and what are the implications for fertility management? Are there hotspots of microbial activity around irrigation lines? And if so, what does that mean for overall rates of nutrient cycling? Should we be breeding for root and rhizosphere traits that increase plasticity and allow crops to take advantage of how resources are distributed? And then finally, what are the long-term impacts of drip irrigation on carbon sequestration and soil health?